take forever. Holy God, you are holy.
You are crazy.
Tragedies are commonplace.
Yeah.
All kinds of diseases, people are slipping away. Economy's down, people can't get enough pay. As for me,
yeah,
all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Folks without homes, living out in the streets, and the drug habits some say they just can't beat. Muggers and robbers, no place seems to be safe, but you've been my protection every step of the way. I wanna say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Been me.
Thank you.
Out of.
Thank you.
No food.
Thank you.
No clothes.
Thank you.
Or just alone.
Thank you.
Without a friend.
Thank you.
Or just another number.
Thank you.
With a tragic
thank
end.
You.
But you didn't
Lord,
see fit to
you.
Let none of these things
thank be. You.
Cause every day by your power,
you.
You keep on keeping me.
Thank you.
And I want to say
thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me.
Yeah, it could have been
thank
me.
You.
Out of.
Thank you.
With no food.
Thank you, God. You.
And no clothes.
Thank you.
Or just alone.
Thank you.
Without a friend.
Thank you.
Or just another number.
Thank you.
So let none of these things
thank you.
Cause every day by your power
you.
You keep on keeping.
I want to thank you for your love.
Thank you
for your power.
Thank you
for your protection.
Thank you
every hour.
Thank you, Jesus.
I
want to
thank you for your love.
Thank you
for your power.
Thank you
for your protection.
Thank you
every hour.
Thank you. I want to thank you for your love.
Thank you
for your power.
Thank you
for your protection.
Thank you
every hour.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for your love.
Thank you
for your power.
Thank you
for your protection.
Thank you
every hour.
Thank you. I want to thank you for your love.
Thank you
for your power.
Thank you
for your protection.
Thank you
every hour.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for your love.
Thank you
for your power.
Thank you
for your protection.
Thank you
every hour.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. For who you are, I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for who you've been. I thank you for who you will continue to be. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't thank you enough. Hallelujah. I say thank you. My soul says
thank you.
Thank you. continue in this worship hour.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He deserves everything that we can possibly give him right now.
Yes.
Lord, I ask that you fill me up right now, Lord Jesus. May I resemble you right now, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let the all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. All I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high.
my life.
to be glorified. That's all I want. It's for you. To be glorified, to be lifted high, all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Be glorified. It's all I want for you to be glorified. You be glorified. Yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Then high, all I want is for you,
for you
to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. All I want is for you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Mm. Lord, we do honor you in this place today. Hallelujah, Jesus. We do magnify you in this place, glory to God. We give you glory. We give you praise in this place today, hallelujah. For Lord, you're worthy, hallelujah, to receive all glory, hallelujah. All honor, all praise, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Mm. Oh, we bless you. We bless you. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. All I want is for you, Lord, for you to be glorified, Jesus, for you to be lifted high. All I want, Jesus, is for you. For you to be glorified, Jesus. For you to be lifted high. Glory, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. Mm. Hallelujah. 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 Mm. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you so much for this worship experience. Hallelujah. We thank you so much, Father God, that you've allowed us to worship you and give you praise, adore you, reverence you in this place this morning. And Father God, we thank you that as we've ministered to you in song by way of praise and worship and adoration, glory to God, that you are ministering to us right now, even right now in our spirits, glory to God. Lord, you're even speaking and breathing words in our spirits, glory to God, that create life on the inside of us, a life to be lived out in actions, behaviors, practice, and habits in the name of Jesus. Lord, we honor you because you are a life-changing God. You are a God that gives life. Amen. You even give us the choice. And you ask us in your word, Lord God, to even choose life. So we thank you for this atmosphere of life, this atmosphere of living that's in this place today. Glory to God. And we thank you, glory to God, that Jesus declared as he walked in the earth realm that he came that we might have life, that we might have it more abundantly. Glory to God. Father God, we thank you for this segment of this worship experience where your word is taught, where your word is preached. Glory to God. And Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name to have mercy upon me as I stand to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through me to say and do everything that you desire said and done in this house today. Holy Spirit, we welcome you now to go before the word to quicken all of us in our innermost being so that we can spiritually discern and receive with meekness everything that the word has to say to us this morning. Holy Spirit, we welcome you now to stand up in my body, to think with my mind, speak with my mouth, to flow through me, to say and do everything that Abba, our Father, and Jesus, our Lord and King, desire us to say and do in this place today. Father God, we thank you that no satanic hindrance shall hinder the free flow of your word in this place tonight. We thank you, or today, we thank you that we are blessed, glory to God. That is, we are empowered to prosper your way. As we receive the word on good ground, that good ground being our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, our spirits, even our souls in this place today, glory to God. Father God, we honor you today and we thank you that the words of our mouth, yes sir, in the meditations of our heart are acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all who agree with that prayer said, amen. Come on, let's bless the Lord in this house today. Amen. Come on, we can do better than that. Amen. 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 Surely his presence is in this place. Amen. This is none other than the house of God. Amen. The very gateway to heaven. Amen. Come on, let's bless him again in this place today. Amen. Wonderful God, wonderful God, wonderful God. Well, ushers, you may be seated. Glory to God. We bless God for our music ministry today. Amen. Somebody say amen. And I need to remind you that we are 1 week away. Somebody say 1 week away. Of the sanctuary reopening, amen, where everybody can come on in if you desire, amen, that we may worship together and praise God together and hear word together, amen, and even fellowship with one another in the safest way that we possibly can during this pandemic. Somebody say amen. Also, I want to remind everybody that we'll still be live streaming, we'll still be Facebook Live, we'll still be YouTubing, we'll still be doing all those things that we normally do by way of social media. Somebody say amen. So if you desire to stay at home a little while longer until you feel that it's safe enough for you to come, you can still catch us every Sunday morning at 10. Somebody say amen. And then the live streams and the Facebook Live, different avenues that we broadcast from, they are saved, and you can listen to them again if you want to, or listen to them for the first time when you are available to do so. Somebody say amen. So we bless God for virtual church. We bless God for in-person church. Somebody say amen. We have choices. Somebody say amen. And we live in a world that's full of choices. Somebody say amen again. Well, good morning, friendship.
Good morning.
Good morning to all of our Facebook friends and all of our Facebook family who's joining us today. Amen. And we say good morning to our teleconferencing group or individuals who are joining us by way of teleconferencing. I can't tell if anybody's on there this morning. Amen. I just believe by faith that there are some individuals. Somebody say amen. That are listening to us by way of teleconferencing. Holiday weekend! Somebody say holiday weekend. We have a lot of our folks that are traveling out of town, etc. I hope they are joining us today. But if they're not, we hope that they will join us sometime before the day is out. Amen. And we pray God to keep them safe as they are experiencing their celebrations or there are different visitations in different places today and throughout this Memorial Day weekend. Amen. Somebody says time for the word. Amen. They've already started my time back there while I was in my preliminaries. One of these old days. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen again. If I go back there and say something to Michael, he might threaten me, so I'll just stay up here. He's already threatened me one time this morning. Amen. He did this to me. I'm going to have to show him who's the boss around here. Somebody say amen. You know I'll tell it. I don't know why you do it. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen. Get my dad-in-law on you, boy. Amen, amen. Okay, amen, amen. Today I want to talk about, or the subject for today's lesson is customs, habits, practices, and traditions. Customs, habits, practices, and traditions. Amen. Today's lesson is a spinoff. Somebody say spinoff. From our lessons that were entitled Thoughts on Thinking, Learning, and Customs. Somebody say Thoughts on Thinking, Learning, and Customs. Somebody say and Customs. Amen. The basic premise for today's lessons, I hear you, Holy Spirit, do you want me to do that first or this first? Okay, do that first, amen. Sometimes we have questions about what the pastor teaches, amen. And sometimes we might raise the question, well, does the pastor really have the authority to teach on thinking or to teach on thoughts? And the answer to the question is, the pastor actually have the authority to teach on anything that God gives him to teach on, amen. because the Lord knows what we need. Somebody say amen. And if our thinking needs to be checked or our thoughts needs to be checked, the Lord has the authority to speak to the angel of the house. Amen. And the angel of the house should have the authority, and the church should give him or her leeway to speak the word from the Lord to the house. Amen. So, yes, the pastor has the authority from God to teach on thinkings, on thoughts, even customs and behaviors. Amen. And another reason why the pastor has authority, and this just came up in my spirit while I was up there. Actually, it started a little bit before I got up here. The reason why the pastor has authority to teach on thinking and thoughts and behaviors is because the Word teaches on those things. Amen. Somebody say amen. Well, the Scriptures give us license to teach on these things. Somebody say amen. I feel the Holy Ghost turning my manuscript in a different direction. Somebody say amen. Let's start today by helping us to understand and see that the Word gives us liberty and leeway through the Scriptures, or even using the Scriptures to correct different things that are not quite right in our lives. Somebody say amen. Who determines what's right or wrong? God does. His word is full of his standards. His word is full of his ways of doing things. Amen. And again, he set the angel of the house in place so that angel of the house can carry out his instructions directly from him. Amen. Somebody say amen. I don't always like what I have to teach. I don't always like what I have to preach. And I know sometimes we don't always, I don't know why the Lord got me talking about this other than the fact we need to hear it. I know you don't always want to hear what the Lord has for us to share. But the Lord is better than a good doctor, amen. You go to the doctor, you have ailments that you don't want to have. And sometimes he prescribes meds for you that you don't want to take, amen. But we take those meds because we understand that the medicine has the propensity, say propensity. The medicine has the propensity to make us better, amen. So we follow the prescription or the prescribed will of the doctor. Somebody say amen. God knows all about us. He made us. He made us in his image and in his likeness. Glory to God. He knows our thoughts. He knows the way that we think, amen. So that means he knows when thinking needs to be impacted, if you will. Somebody say amen. So these messages on thinking and thoughts and learning and customs, all those lessons come directly from him. Somebody say amen. I think sometimes the church is looking at verbatim words, if you will. When the church don't need to look at verbatim words and patterns in the Bible, amen. Somebody say patterns. The Bible gives us patterns as it relates to the avenues and directions that we can teach on and carry out in the Christian church, amen. So we'll start by giving us proof that the Scriptures are given to correct us. Somebody say to correct us. Somebody say to correct us. One passage, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. The New Living Translation. Yes, sir, and I'll do that just like you, just like you're telling me to do it. Amen. New Living Translation. Listen what God inspired Paul to write for the church. Actually, this went directly to Timothy so that he can know exactly what he could do by way of scripture text in the church. Somebody say amen. He writes all scripture. Say all scripture. Start at Genesis. Go clean through the book of Revelation. Start in the Old Testament at Genesis. Stop at Malachi. Then start in the Gospels at Matthew. Stop at John. And then starting the New Testament, starting at the book of Romans and go strictly through the book of Revelations. All of those writings are scripture. Somebody say scripture. Somebody say scripture. Well, they are God-breathed, inspired words from God. Amen. The Holy Spirit inspired the writers. The writers wrote. And the writers wrote for our good. Somebody say our good. And even for our knowledge, if you will. Somebody say for our knowledge. The Bible says add to your faith what? Virtue. And to your virtue what? Somebody say knowledge. So we should always be increasing in knowledge. Knowledge concerning God. Knowledge concerning the scripture. Somebody say amen. So all scripture. Somebody say all scripture. Is inspired by whom? Somebody say God. And is useful. Say useful. Or should be utilized to teach us what is what? Somebody say true. You don't have to be quiet today. You can talk back to me. Somebody say what is true. And to make us realize what? What is wrong. Somebody say what is wrong. In whose lives? Somebody say our lives. I think I made this point last week. We quick to point at other folks. But are we hearing the word for us? You know, Jack needed that word that Pastor preached last week. You did, too. Yeah, you did, too. You just need to realize you need it. Amen. Every word, say every word. Every word probably hits me first. Amen. It probably impacts me at a greater rate than it impacts some of y'all. Amen. Sometimes I cry for a week. And then a week after, somebody say amen. Because the word has impacted me in that way. Amen. And true repentance comes through sorrow in my heart. Somebody say amen. Well, godly sorrow, the Bible says, leads to repentance. Somebody say amen. So when that word impacts me and God creates that sorrow in my heart, man, I might cry for a week or two, amen. But when I get through crying, I'm looking to repentance. Somebody say repentance. Or changing in my thinking, even changing in my actions, amen. I'm not going to just waste water. Somebody say amen. I water the lawn so he can grow. I water the tears from my eyes are indication that there's something been impacted in my life that might cause me to grow. Somebody say amen. Don't waste water. Somebody say don't waste water. Not like God don't waste words. Amen. So he says the scriptures are useful to teach us. Somebody say teach us. The term teach has to do with instructing. When Erica get up before the class every morning, she's out now. She do teach the kids or instruct the kids in some areas where they need instructing. Amen. There's preparation for life in the classroom. Somebody say amen. Can I help you today? That's preparation for living in this classroom. Amen. Not only just living, but an improved standard of living. Amen. Or an abundant type of life, if you will. Somebody say amen. The word teach also means to teach how to. You know, when I was in the fifth grade, my fifth grade teacher, her name was Miss Stamp. I don't guess I ever forget Miss Stamp. Miss Stamp said, you can't define a word with a word. Well, that's amazing to me. She taught me that, and I hang on to that. But I look in the dictionary sometime, in the dictionary, to find a word with a word. Somebody say amen. The word teach has to do with learning us how to. Somebody say learning us how to. My father-in-law used to say, I'm going to learn you how to. And then I used to think about what Miss Stamp said. Stamp said, can't nobody learn you nothing. They teach it. Well, God, the Bible, when you look up the word teach, it has to do with learning you how to. Somebody say amen. Somebody say learning you how to. Somebody say learning you how to. And the word teach also has to do with sharing information. Somebody says sharing information. Information does us no good if we don't apply what's applicable. Somebody say amen. You can become a spiritual, let me put it this way, you can become spiritually obese because you intake and don't release. Because you intake and don't release. You can become obese in your body because you intake and don't exercise or burn it off. Amen. Does that make sense to you? So we can become spiritually obese because we intake and don't release. Somebody say amen. Well, I can put it this way, intake and don't do, amen. The scripture said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Amen. When you hear the word and don't do it, you deceive yourself out of the blessing that's attached in the doing. Somebody say amen. So we don't want to become spiritually obese. Somebody say amen. But we want to receive revelation. Say receive revelation. And put into practice what the Lord is saying. So if the Lord says we need to check our thinking on some things, we need to check our thinking. And God is not a God that just share words for nothing. He shares word with us so that we can make the corrections that we need to correct, because his bottom line is for us to get his results. Amen. He has a way that we do so that we can receive what he has in store for us. Amen. We got to get away from this click your heels religion. I hope I can. I think I can. I wish I can. No, we apply the word. Man, I hear the Lord this morning. You can be sure that you're going to receive from the Lord what you're praying for, but it's predicated on you following his commandments or doing what he instructs us to do. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. And then we're coming back to this. I think it's verse 14. The Lord just dropped it in my spirit. Yeah. Listen to what John writes. Which one you want to give me? New Living Translation or New King James? It doesn't matter to me, brother. I'll take that one. Now, this is the confidence. Somebody say confidence. What is confidence? Knowing, trusting. Yeah, yeah. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to what? He hears us. Somebody say amen. Go to the next verse. That ain't the verse I'm looking for. I'll find the other one. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we ask of him. Somebody say amen. I don't have the right Bible. Let me look right here. Well, Pastor, you need to know the scriptures. I do know them. I just don't always remember where they are. 1 John, where is that scripture, Lord? Is it chapter 2? And then I don't have the right Bible. I got another translation this morning. I have a lot of stuff marked in my Bible. I guess I'll just have to come back to that one on another time, because I can't see it right now. Somebody say amen. Well, y'all charge me harshly for not knowing where it is. Okay. If you studied as much, no, I won't do that to you. As you're just taking up time, we got time. You find it for me, Shirley? The Bible, the scripture in 1 John that tells us that we can be confident that we're going to receive from the Lord when we pray because we keep his commandments. I think it says something like, do what's pleasing in his sight. Go back to 2 John 3:16 while they're looking for that for me. You know the elders are given to the pastor for support. Somebody say, for support. And they're supposed to be able to help him out in spiritual matters, too. Somebody say amen. So all scripture is inspired by, yeah, Lord, I remember. All scripture is inspired by God and is what? Useful to teach us what is true and to what? Make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Now, it don't only make us realize what is wrong. Look, this is what it says next. It corrects us. Say it corrects us. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what? Somebody say, what is right? Somebody say, what is right? Somebody say, amen. So the scripture is given to teach us, to correct us, and to show us where we are erring. Somebody say, erring. Somebody say, erring. Ephesians. If I wasn't trying to be so smart, I wouldn't have. Forgot it. Ephesians chapter 4. I apologize, Lord. You got that one up there? I knew it. I knew that's where it was. I'm just playing. Amen. This is what the scripture said. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because what? We keep his commandments. Is he talking about the Ten Commandments right there? Could be. But he could be talking about any command or any authoritative prescription or any authoritative prescriptive word that he gives us to help us along. Somebody say amen. And whatever we ask, we receive. You found that, Jeremy. Bless you. We receive from him because we keep his commandments and do. Jeremy said, you always give me credit for stuff I don't do. And do those things that are pleasing what? In his sight. I had some of it right. Somebody say amen. So, you know, if we just do what he asks us to do, we can be confident that we'll receive from him. Amen. Somebody say amen. That's important, isn't it? Somebody say amen. One of my major things that I try to do these days is walk in the Spirit at all times. Do I always get it right? No, I miss it. Sometimes I get it wrong because I don't understand. And sometimes I get it wrong because my will get in the way. You know, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. The Spirit is willing, but the what? Flesh is weak. Sometimes my spirit is willing to do the right thing, but my flesh want to go to the left. And sometimes my flesh go to the left. And then the Lord has to sometimes correct me. Not sometimes he don't have to correct me because I already know I've gone through the left, to the left. Or when I'm driving places and I lose my direction, I might go to the left and I know where I'm going. I might go to the left instead of going to the right or instead of keeping straight. I make a course. Amen. I make a course correction. Somebody say, if you know what's right, oh, I want to say it that way. If you know what's right, you're off the path. It shouldn't take the Lord convicting us to make a course correction. Amen. Like if I do something to hurt my wife's feelings, I know I've done wrong. Amen. So I don't wait for the Lord to say, go and ask her apology. Amen. I go and apologize. I'm a course correction. Amen. Now, she might not be always ready to receive my apology when I give it. It's based upon how hard I made her. Somebody say amen. But I know to make the course correction. And after she settles down, somebody say amen, she knows to make the course correction by coming to me and saying, I accept your apology, amen. We don't always need the Lord to show us where we've gone wrong, amen. If you know better, Uncle AJ used to say, you ought to do better, amen. When you know that you need to make the course correction, because you have the word in you, you have the scripture in you, we need to make the course correction, if you will. I'm talking to somebody this morning. Somebody say amen. So we understand that the scripture gives us authority. God gives us authority. The scripture gives us authority to point out some things that are wrong in our lives, even my life, and then give us the word to correct. Somebody said to correct. All that's in the scripture. Now, how come I can teach on thinking? Because the scripture says that I can. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Y'all all right? The Lord got this way of changing things when I said 4 and 8. When you think you're going to talk about one thing, he gives you some foundational stuff. Listen to this, what this passage says right here. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are what? True. Whatever things are what? 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 Of good report. Somebody say of good report. If they are what? And if they are what? What does the scripture say next? What is meditation? Somebody say thinking. Somebody say thinking. Give me New Living Translation on that one. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. He says, fix your thoughts. Somebody say, fix your thoughts. Now that means to set your thoughts. Somebody say set your thoughts. But I can translate it. I think of it sometimes this way: is fix your thoughts because they're broken. Jesus said he came to heal the brokenhearted. What was he talking about? Was he talking about this heart being broken? Or was he talking about this heart being broken? I tend to think he's talking about this heart. Does that make sense to you? You know, all of our thinking has fallen away from God's original way of thinking for us. And it happened through the fall. Somebody said through the fall. Before man fell, before Adam fell, and I heard something interesting about that. I'll tell you about it later. Before Adam fell, they just thought about good stuff. Somebody said good stuff. And then when they fell, Adam realized that they were naked. Somebody say naked. And then around Genesis chapter 6, the Lord sent the deluge of the flood because folks' minds were continually on evil. Somebody say on evil. Prior to that, they weren't thinking about it because they didn't have a knowledge of evil. Amen. So a lot of us think, a lot of our thoughts are broken as it relates to thinking evil opposed to thinking good. And sometimes we've grown in thinking evil so much until we think evil is right. We think it's right to think malicious as it relates to doing something to somebody to hurt them. Malicious thinking. Somebody said malicious thinking. I don't think God has no problem with us defending ourselves, but malicious thinking, you know, you meditating on messing somebody up. That's evil. That's evil. I'm thinking about how I'm going to get him back if he do something to me. That's evil. Somebody say if. I know you don't like this morning. Amen. And if I can let you look at my manuscript, I had no idea I was going to talk about any of this. Amen. I'm just saying what thus said. Hey, see you later. I'm just saying what thus said the Lord. Amen. They don't know who I'm talking to. See you later. Amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So I can fix my thoughts. Say fix my thoughts. Amen. And pay attention. Amen, amen. Fix my thoughts and pay attention. I can fix my thoughts, which implies that I can set my thoughts in places. And if the Bible teaches that I can work on my thoughts, I can teach you how to work on your thoughts because the Bible says that we can do so. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Y'all all right? Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1. And then perhaps I can get through without, I don't know. I got 19 minutes. Jeremy, did you speed that thing up? I got 19 minutes. I hadn't started on. Did I say Galatians? I thought I said Colossians. Since you have been raised with Christ to new life with Christ, set your sights. Somebody say sights. Go to the King James Translation. It says, seek those things which are above. Verse number 2. Go to verse number 2. It says, set your affections on what? Go to the New King James Translation. Oh, I know what I'm doing. It says, set your what? Say mind. What's in the mind? Thoughts. What's in the mind? Thinking. Somebody say thinking. So the Bible teaches that we ought to set our minds in different places, set our thoughts in different places, set our thinking in different places, which gives me the license to teach on thinking. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. The Bible talks about customs and behaviors. Now, I won't give you all the scripture on that, which gives me the right from God to teach on customs and behaviors. Somebody say amen. Is that all on that, Lord? Yes, sir. Okay. So here's the message subject for today: custom, habits, practices, and traditions. And here again, the basic premise for today's lesson is to encourage us. Somebody said to encourage us. It's to encourage us to look carefully. Somebody said carefully at our customs, habits, practices, and traditions to see and determine the outcome or the results that they produce, and to determine if they are producing good outcomes or a bad outcome. Somebody say amen. You want to look at your custom practice behaviors and habits to determine what they're producing. Are they producing good or are they producing bad? When I practice my practices, when I practice my habits, when I practice my customs, when I practice my traditions, what are they producing? Are they producing or promoting something that's advantageous for my personal growth? Or are they producing something that's harmful or hurtful to my personal growth and to the personal growth of others? Are you listening to me? It's going to get better. Somebody say amen. Let's define a few things. And I'll do as much as I can do today. Amen. Let's define all four words. The word customs, say customs. Customs are traditional and widely accepted ways of behaving or doing something that is specific to a particular society, place, or time. I'll say it again. Customs are traditional and widely accepted ways of behaving or doing something that is specific to a particular society, place, or time. Amen. Or you can put it this way, customs are customary ways of doing things. Somebody say customary ways. It's in our custom to go to work. It's in our custom to go to church. It's in our custom to take care of our children. It's in our custom to do a lot of things that's conducive or and advantageous for the good living of ourselves and for our family. Somebody say amen. So it's a good custom. See, it's a good custom to get up and go to work. Now, we got some bad customs. I won't deal with that today. But I want you to know if you're going to work, that's good. Somebody said it's good. That's good. Somebody say amen. Number two. Habits. Somebody say habits. From a psychological perspective, habits are automatic patterns. Say automatic patterns. Automatic patterns of behavior in reaction to or a specific situation. They are automatic patterns. They are automatic patterns. They are automatic patterns in my head that I've learned from my environment or learned from my family, et cetera, or probably learned from a situation, somebody say situation. There are automatic patterns in my head that causes me to respond in different ways when I encounter something, amen. Does that make sense to you? I got a couple of bad patterns in my head. Sometimes if somebody says something to me wrong, I cuss them out. Sometimes if somebody crossed me, I might fight. Somebody said, that's human, Pastor. Well, that's what God's trying to get us away from, a lot of human behavior. Yeah. Scripture says that, you know, somebody slap you on one cheek, you're supposed to turn the other. Jesus said, if somebody asked you to walk 1 mile with you, you ought to walk two. So Jesus said, somebody, take your jacket. You ought to give them your coat if you got one. See, Jesus is trying to change our human behavior into godly behavior. Does that make sense to you? So I have some patterns in my head that's contrary to the will of God. So if I'm going to please God, thereby getting his results, those patterns in my head got to change. Does that make sense to you? So psychologically, habits are patterns in your head that cause you or and I to respond in different situations a specific way when those situations come upon us. Somebody say amen. Habits are also established customs or established ways of doing things for a person or for persons. Somebody say amen. I do good things for people. Habitually, because I basically, in most cases, think that way. Somebody say think that way. I have a habit of brushing my teeth. That's a good habit. If I don't brush my teeth, I'm probably going to offend some of y'all. Somebody say amen. So Some people have bad habits. They're bad habits. I've had some bad habits in my life. I didn't take care of my teeth when I was young. That's why all of these in my mouth don't belong from my natural body. Somebody say amen. So we practice good habits and bad habits. If you know you're practicing bad habits as a result of hearing this lesson, there are some of your habits that needs to change. Somebody say, to have a habit of drinking till like, say amen. Those habits had to change because I was doing damage to my personal body because it was a habit. It wasn't just something that I did every now and then. I want to talk about me today because I don't know much about you. It was a habit that could have caused damage to my body, amen, or it could have caused me to hurt somebody else. Look at how drunk I got. By his grace. Somebody said, by his grace. As drunk as I used to get, I never hurt anybody that I know of, amen. Somebody say amen. So we can have good habits and bad habits. Somebody say good habits, bad habits. I'm going to give you some examples, but I can't give you all examples. Somebody say amen. Money managing habits. Does that make sense to you? How do you know? You see the outcome. All their debts are paid. Judah, they got some money in the bank. They got some money invested. They got some reserve cash, which means they didn't live over their means or lived in a way where it took all of their income to support their way of living or their habitual style, if you will, amen. They practice some good money management practices. And can I help somebody today? Sometimes in order for habits to change, you got to get some new knowledge. Somebody say some new knowledge. Somebody say new knowledge. The Bible teaches us that good habits can go to bad habits. Somebody say amen. I get so tired of having to say this, Lord, but I'm going to say it because you're telling me to say it. Amen. Sometimes our habits go from good to bad based upon who we're surrounding ourselves with. I was doing it all right until I got with such and such a crowd. And my good manners were corrupted by their evil behavior. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Am I talking to the right house? So habits are basically general practices or general ways of doing things on a regular basis. Somebody say amen. Practices. Somebody say practices. The word practice or practices are customary ways of operating or behaving. Again, it's a what? Pattern. Somebody say pattern. Practices are also, I like this one, systematic trainings by multiple repetitions. Somebody says systematic trainings by multiple repetitions. What does that mean, Pastor? You systematically learn to do something by training yourself to do it repetitiously or over and over and over again. Somebody say amen. Does this make sense to you? And lastly, somebody said lastly, the word traditions. And I need to say this, all traditions ain't bad. All traditions are not good. We've taught in the church, and I've been guilty of it myself. We've thrown the term traditions around as though all traditions are bad. I've been guilty of it. All traditions ain't bad. I traditionally come to church. That ain't bad. That's good. Amen. Can I help you? I traditionally go to work. That's good, isn't it? Somebody say amen. I traditionally bathe. That's good, isn't it? Somebody say, yeah, they said, thank you, Lord. All traditions ain't bad, amen. We traditionally serve communion. That's a good tradition. We traditionally teach the word. That's a good tradition. All traditions are not bad. But there are some traditions that are bad. Especially if those traditions go against the word of God. Somebody say amen. Matthew chapter 15. This is not going anyway like I planned it. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 1. Now let me set this up. Here are the religious leaders. They're religious leaders. The folks who are supposed to know the law of God. the folks who are supposed to know the commandments of God, amen, they are exalting their traditions or their way of doing things that's been handed down from generation to generation that's not godly, if you will. Somebody say not godly. Over the commandments of God. They're the folks that God said that you can look at and see what they're doing. Or you can listen to and hear what they say do, but don't do what you see them do. Somebody say amen. Matthew chapter 23, somebody say amen. We got some religious folks who will tell you what's right, but don't necessarily do what is right. I think we need to learn and practice what we preach, amen. Or stop preaching it. Somebody say amen. So here's some religious leaders. They knew what was right. They knew what was right according to God's standard, but they exalted their tradition or their customary way of doing things that was handed down from generation to generation over what God said. So we can have some traditions that are bad, especially from this perspective. We exalt tradition, man-made traditions or customs over what God says. Does this make sense to you? Let me just read it. New Living Translations 15:1, Matthew. Some Pharisees and teachers of religious law now arrive from Jerusalem to see Jesus. Anytime they showed up to see Jesus, they had something, they had a scheme going. Somebody say amen. Verse number 2. And they asked the questions, why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? Whose tradition was it? Somebody said theirs. They demanded. They said they ignore our tradition of ceremonially hand washing before they eat. Somebody said, yes, they did. Listen at Jesus' response to them. Verse number 3. Jesus replied, and why do you, by your traditions, violate the correct commandments of God? Amen. Direct commandments of God. Somebody say amen. Jesus ain't going to just put that word out there. Or he's not going to put that word out there without some explanation. Somebody say amen. Look at the next verse. For instance, God says, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of a father or mother must work. Somebody say must be put to death. Now, what you must understand about that word honor is that word honor carries the connotation of financially supporting your parents. Oh, God. If they need supporting, amen. If they need supporting. They back there talking. I don't know what they said. I wish they stopped because they know I want to know. Amen. So somebody say amen. So God said, honor your parents, even if you have to take care of them. I don't know what the big deal is, because in most cases, they've taken care of us. You are where you are because of what they did for you. Now they need a little money, a little something from you, then you got a problem. Listen to what the Pharisees did. Next verse, verse number 5. But you say, it is all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. Can't give to you because I vowed to give to God. Okay, let me help you. That was their way of getting out of helping their parents monetarily. Somebody say amen. Verse number 6. In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents. And so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. You let your tradition override what God said. Some traditions that we have are contrary to the will of the Lord. And when we realize that the tradition is contrary to the will of the Lord, you need to correct that tradition. Babe, I need a few hundred dollars. Oh, Mom, I vowed that to the Lord. I can't give that to you. Amen. Hear the motive. You vowed to keep from giving. You hear the motive? Do you hear the motive? I hear this. I'm just going to say it. This is for us. Even if mom and daddy didn't do everything they were supposed to do, you still ought to help them. I don't know what the reason why they didn't do. My mom and dad did the best that they could. But we were lacking in some areas. But then there came a time when we did better. We should help them because we know how it feels to be lacking. Does this make sense? And none of this plan, I promise you, forgive it to me. I wish you could see my manuscript. So some of our traditions, say some of my traditions. They're contrary to the will of the Lord. Well, I got to say this. Okay, if you traditionally get drunk, that's contrary to the will of the Lord. The worst that we can drink, hallelujah. But God has a problem with us getting drunk. And the reason is because we do. Some of us traditionally smoke. Does smoking help you or harm you? I used to smoke, so I know what to do. And some of us say, my nerves are bad. I gotta get me a cigarette. That's a stronghold in your mind. The Bible speaks to your nerves being bad, or my nerves being bad. The Bible calls them cares. Somebody say cares. Cares are worries. You're worrying about what's going on now. The Bible called cares anxiety. Say anxieties. Anxieties, or you worrying about what might happen. You don't even know if it's going to happen. You're worrying yourself in a frenzy because you think something negative might happen. Amen. The Bible gives us instruction about cares. He didn't say get your cigarette because your nerves are bad. The Bible said cast all your cares on him. Amen. Because he what? He cares for you. Amen. You know, I've learned to give God things I can't handle. Amen. And I've learned to try to handle things that I can, amen. But there's a lot of things I can't handle, amen. I remember when my children were growing up, they wanted to go out, you know, and I know they tell me to go in one place, they might go somewhere else. And I tell the Lord before I go to bed, Lord, I'm going to sleep now. Because it don't make sense for both of us to be up, amen. The scripture says you neither slumber nor sleep, amen. And I can't see everywhere like you, because you are not present. Somebody say, oh, I'm not present. So I'm going to go to sleep, Lord, and you watch out over my boys. Wherever they are, protect them, amen. And if I need to know something, wake me up and tell me, amen. And no use both of us being up. Somebody say amen. I give that care to the Lord. Because you know you can be concerned about the children, especially when they're going to different places. You don't know where they're going. But I can't see all that stuff. You know, you learn. After your children grow up, some of the things that you probably would have chased them out of a place if you knew that they were there, amen. But the Lord took care of them, amen. Because you had sense enough to cast the cares on him, amen. Somebody say amen. What does the Bible have to say about anxieties? Be anxious for what? Nothing. If we follow the scriptures, we won't have to traditionally smoke to calm our nerves, amen. I don't know why God got me talking about smoking, amen. But we'll just do what the word says, amen. Well, Pastor, you just die. I smoked for a long time. I know about smoking. And I used to say, my nerve bad, let me get smoking. Now I just cast my cares. Does that make sense to you? So did I give you a definition for tradition? Because I need to stop because my time is up. That's what I'm working on now, amen. So each one of those words, say each one of those words, has to do with regular practices and behaviors, amen. We want to focus on the behavior part of it, amen. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are your customary ways of doing things? And do they produce good in your life or bad in your life? God says his plan for us is what? Somebody say good. So we need to be working toward his plan. His plan for us is good and what? Not evil. I wish you knew the background of that particular text. Israel was in bondage. And God still said his plan for them was good, amen. And then he told them to do some things while they were in bondage. There, somebody say amen. So he still wanted them to do good in the midst of bad, amen. Is this making sense to you? So if we know his plan is to do good, we need to start working toward what? Doing good. If our custom practices, behaviors are bad, we got to work on changing them if we want a good outcome or his outcome, amen. This is good. Thank you. Whose report are you going to believe? Amen. I'm going to believe his report. Somebody say his report. So the basic premise for this or these lessons. Now, it was a this lesson. Now they turn into these lessons. Amen. Because it's going to be a part two. The basic premise for these lessons are to take for us to take a look at what we're doing, at what we're doing, practices regularly. You see if they're good or bad, if they're helpful or harmful. And if they're harmful, we need to work on changing them. You want me to do that now, Lord? My time is up. Okay, I'll do it now. I had a practice of asking too many questions. And people, don't you look at me with that tone of voice. And people were telling me, you just ask too many questions. And I used to respond, I ask questions because I want to know. And then they'll say, well, Pastor, you just knows. I said, no, I'm just asking questions because I want to know. I used to ask so many questions that people would see me come and they were probably saying, yeah, they were probably saying something like that, amen. He come with all those questions. So I asked one question too many. And really got my feelings hurt by asking that one question. And I brought the problem. Because, you know, this is the way I am. This is the way that God apparently made me. So I went to the Lord and I prayed, asked the Lord to change my environment. And then I went from changing my environment to changing me if I'm wrong. So the Lord must agree with the folks. He must agree with them that I asked too many questions. So he changed me. Amen. Somebody say he changed me. Now, you might not have noticed yet, but you will notice. I'm not asking nearly as many questions as I used to ask, if I'm asking any. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. And then the Holy Spirit will help you. And there's a lot of other things that I can say with this, but my time is up. Then the Holy Spirit will help you maintain that change. Now, here's a good question. Are all God's changes permanent? Or do you have to maintain the change after you make the change? You've got to maintain it. And then the Holy Spirit will help you maintain. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit does for me. If I ask one question, he'll tell me, or two questions, he'll say, that's enough. And then I go to some places, and I might be thinking about asking some questions. He says to me, don't ask any questions. She said, hallelujah. So he'll help you maintain your deliverance. But you gotta listen to the Holy Spirit as he help you maintain your deliverance. So if I'm not asking a lot of questions, I didn't say not any. But if I'm not asking a lot of questions anymore, you know that the Lord decided to change me because I was asking too. I was intrusive. I was getting in some places that I ought not get in. And normally, you know, a lot of times when you do that, you get your feelings hurt. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. How did I get there? I have no idea, other than the Holy Spirit told me to say it. So we have some practices that the Holy Spirit wants to help us with, or God wants to deliver us from, but first we've got to realize that the practices are bad. And then go to him and ask him to change us, and then ask him to help us maintain the change. And I promise you that the Holy Spirit will help you. Somebody say amen. Next week, if the Lord's willing, we're going to pick up on part two, because I didn't know all this was going to be part one. And we're going to give you some things to think about. Somebody say things to think about concerning custom habits, practices, and traditions. We need to know some things about. We need to know some things about some of the custom practices and habits and traditions that we need to know where they come from. We need to know what they're producing in our lives. We need to know what they're generating in our lives. There's just some things that we need to know about. Somebody say, "Man, I'm tired." Let us pray. I asked earlier, was anybody else in the hot other than me? And I heard a couple of people say to me, no. I was hot, now I'm smoking. Somebody say amen. Lord, you know what's best for us, and we bless you for that. And we honor you for your word that's liberating. That it sets us free indeed. Do you want me to say that too, Lord? Lord, we honor you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. And I'll agree with that prayer said. Amen, amen. I really don't want to say this, but I'm going to be obedient. Sometimes when I'm preaching, I don't sound all prim and proper. Or I don't sound as eloquent as perhaps a lot of preachers do. Sometimes God wants you to see the genuineness in us. He don't always want us to come across as though we have rehearsed everything that we're saying. He wants us to come across as believable. He wants us to come across as real and not canned, C-A-N-N-E-D. You know, I used to work on dotted every I and crossing every T. But I don't work on those things anymore. I just work on being used by the Lord. So if I don't sound all prim and proper to you, I apologize. But you just need to hear what the Lord is saying through the vessel. I wonder how prim and proper the apostles sound. I know Moses didn't sound so prim and proper. Amen. That's why he had to have Aaron for a while. He stuttered. But the Lord still used him. Amen. Can I say something else to you? We don't always have to be like everybody else. We just need to be how God has created us to be. So if I don't always sound all prim, proper, what's the word? Eloquence, see that I told you. No, I'm just a vessel being used. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And I really didn't want to say that one, amen, because that sounded a little bit self-serving. But that's what the Lord told me to say, amen. Perhaps you're listening to us by way of teleconferencing or viewing us by way of one of our social media outlets or through live stream, and you need to receive Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, we give you the invitation to ask him into your life today. You can ask him in by way of confessing that he is the Christ, or confessing with your mouth Lord Jesus and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. He comes in, you are saved. Somebody say amen. Or you can invite him in by way of prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, save me, forgive me of my sins, be my Savior, and be my Lord. And pray a prayer of thanksgiving after he has come in to your life by faith. Somebody say amen. Number two, if you are watching us or listening to us and you desire to give to this ministry, especially if you are not a part of this ministry, we have several different avenues that you can give through. We have Givelify. The Givelify address is Friendship CCM. We have Cash App. That giving address is money sign Friendship, $ Friendship. Thank you. I always get it mixed up. CCM, thank God for help. Amen. You can give by way of PayPal. You can go to our website at www.friendshipccm.org. You can access PayPal there. Amen. If you have a PayPal account, you can access it through your account. Amen. You can give by way of bill pay, bank bill pay. Amen. That's online banking. Somebody say amen. Or you can give by way of the United States Postal Services. Our address is 1238 Central Point Parkway, 1238. Central Point Parkway, Birmingham, Alabama, 35215. Somebody say amen. Our children's church will start in 1 minute. You can access our children's church for right now by way of Zoom. And even after we come back into the sanctuary, we'll still be doing Zoom, even though the children will be live here in the sanctuary with us. Somebody say amen. Our Zoom address is 832-3475-6582. Again, that's 832-3475-6582. And the password is 680-632. Somebody say amen. We have Bible study each Wednesday at 6:45 via Facebook Live, Zoom, and teleconferencing. Our Zoom address is 825-199-7060. Again, that's 825-199-7060. And our password is FCCM, all lowercase letters, 1238. Again, that's FCCM, all lowercase letters, 1238. Our teleconferencing number is 1-800-697-4304. Again, that's 1-800-697-4304. The access code is 205-261-4921. Again, that's 205-261-4921. That was a lot, wasn't it? Amen. Did I omit anything? Again, we understand that we're on a holiday weekend. I ask you to be safe and practice safety. However, enjoy yourself, your families, a good meal, etc. Somebody say amen. And we pray God's blessings upon you as you enjoy this holiday weekend. Well, that's all I have for now. We speak blessings on your life. We speak faith. We speak healing. We speak deliverance. We speak wholeness. We speak purity. We speak all God's blessings upon your life in Jesus' name. Till next week, I ask that you would be safe throughout this new week. Have an awesome week. I love you. In Jesus' name, bye-bye.